Pushkin. Hi, I'm Phil Donahue.
And I'm Marlo Thomas. And we're going on a series of double dates to find out
what makes a marriage last. I interviewed Jimmy Carter on my show when he was president. But it was very different sitting with him and First Lady Rosalynn, couple to couple, and talking about something as personal as our marriages.
We flew down to Atlanta and met them at the Carter Center, their legendary humanitarian foundation. This was our first interview for this project, and what a way to start with American royalty.
We were shown into his very formal office. I remember the two huge flags on either side of the desk, one with the stars and stripes, and the other with the presidential seal.
And he just came bounding in, this man in his 90s, and he pointed out a beautiful wooden chair that he had carved himself.
He was impressive. I'm sure it must be a challenge for Rosalynn to keep up with his energy. They've been together for an unbelievable 75 years. So we had to ask them, how?
First of all, love and friendship goes together. And we found a long time ago that arguments and disagreements are inevitable, you know, among two strong-willed people. But we decided quite early in our marriage to give each other plenty of space. In fact, if Rosalynn's interested in something, she does it her own way, and she accepts my help when she needs it. And vice versa, when I have a special interest, she gives me plenty of space or time to work on my own projects. But she helps me when I need it.
Right.
So space is the first thing. And I think the other key is we decided quite a while ago to make sure we didn't ever go to sleep angry with each other. We have a lot of arguments during the daytime. But we just made up our mind that we would try to become reconciled at night. So we never did go to sleep
in
the same bed.
Right.
Still angry.
That's great. You know, we were talking, is what is it like some people never can come back from a misunderstanding? How do you think that you guys always come back from it?
Well, first of all, we have a basic premise of not ever being deprived of an ability to communicate with each other. Sometimes we do get in a huff, and Rosa might pout for a little while, and I might pout for a little while, but we try to get reconciled, and most of the time I take the initiative when I realize that either there are two sides to the issue or that I was wrong or something like that. One thing we do, we're Christians, both of us, so we read the Bible every night, and we have done that for 50 years maybe.
Really?
Yeah, every night.
And how do you go in order, or do you pick a page or just
random? Well, right now we're going through the New Testament in Spanish. We have a Spanish-English version. So one night Rosalynn reads, and the next night I read. And when I'm traveling overseas, or when Rosalynn is traveling, we still read the same chapter in the Bible. And so we know that at least, you know, even though we might be 5,000 miles apart, we still share the same text.
So it's been all in all, it's obviously been a good life.
It has been.
It's been a good life, yeah.
But not without its challenges.
That's right. We've had constant challenges and setbacks, you know, not getting reelected president. The first time I ran for governor, I failed to be elected. And
how did you come back from those losses? Did you use Rosa to help you back, or did you go in a corner and pout?
I think
he had to help me. I was the one that upset.
Really?
Yeah.
And he was upset, but I was more upset, I think, because if he hadn't helped me, I don't think I'd have forgotten.
When I failed in politics, Rosa was angry with the public. She was angry with Ronald Reagan and so forth. I had to think of ways to calm her down. So I was searching constantly for good things about not being reelected, you know. And so I had to ease her pain. which we did, and so that's how the Carter Center was born.
Something to do.
I was just 56 years old, and Rosa was just 53, so we knew we had, say, 25 years of life ahead of us.
Right.
This was the point where I had to remind myself that they actually got married in 1946. We didn't even have a television set in our house.
We were still in grade school.
And Harry Truman was in the White House.
When you got married so young. Mm-hmm. Well, how old were you guys?
I was 1 month before I was 19. I had a baby 1 month before I was 20.
And how old were you?
I was still 20. I was on the way to be 21.
We graduated back then when we were 16.
Oh, yeah.
We had 11 grades. Uh-huh. And there was nothing a woman could do except be a school teacher or a librarian or something like secretary or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or a nurse. My mother was a nurse.
Yeah.
And the culture when I graduated was you get married and have babies.
Yes. Well,
what about this guy made you think he was the one?
Well, Jimmy's sister Ruth was my best friend. I spent a lot of time at the house. He was never there. And I always said I fell in love with a photograph on the wall in her bedroom.
I read somewhere where you knew right away that she was the one. Right?
I did, yeah.
Why? What was that? I'm so excited by that, because that's how I felt when I went on the Donahue Show.
Well, I had a lot of girlfriends, you know, going up in high school and so forth. I was cruising around with my sister Ruth and her boyfriend, and she's looking for a date. I picked up Rosa in front of the Methodist Church. And
you picked up girls at the church?
At the church. Well, that's where a whole bunch of young folks were assembled at that time. Church was a center of our life. But the next morning, after our first date, my mother asked me some questions, and I finally told her that Rosa was the one I wanted to marry.
But why? What was it?
I just felt compatible with her, and she was beautiful, and I guess there was a resonance. Say, I kissed her on our first date. I remember that vividly. But we rode in the rumble seat of a Ford coupe, and my sister Ruth and her boyfriend was driving.
Uh-huh.
Went to the movies. I have no idea what movies. So. But I never was doubtful about it. So the following Christmas, you know, I told her I loved her.
It was Christmas.
The next February, the 22nd or something, it was George Washington and Lincoln's joint birthday at the Naval Academy. My parents came up and Rosen came up with them to visit me. And that's when I remember asking her to marry me. But anyway, she said no.
So, really?
So from February to May, my impression was that she was dating all the other available boys to find a better match. And then finally in May, she said, okay.
Why did you say no before?
My father died when I was 13. I was the oldest of four. I had a little sister, four, and two brothers in between. And on his deathbed, he called us in the room, and I promised him that I would go to college. And it was hard for me to go against that.
Right.
I graduated from junior college.
So you got 2 years in.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 years. 2 years. We were living in Norfolk in the Navy.
Uh-huh.
And when she had the baby, we had been married almost exactly a year. But I was gone at sea most of the time, and so she had full responsibility to take care of the household, to shop for groceries and to pay the bills and everything else. I had a separate life, you might say. Mm-hmm.
We lived upstairs over the skipper. And his wife was there all the time. So that anytime I needed anything with the new baby, she was there to help me. And then all of us, so many of the wives being pregnant and having babies and everything, made it easy for me because we just got together while the men were gone. I used to go get groceries with the baby. And I would get off on the street corner and the bus and put the groceries down, run home with the baby, go back and get the groceries. It was tough.
Yeah.
But because I did develop some independence.
Because he was gone, so you were independent.
I had to. I was a total housewife.
Yeah, she was. As far as major decisions was concerned, I never did even consult with her. And later when we got home from the Navy, we didn't have any money. We lived in the government housing project in Plains. And when I decided to run for the state senate after being a farmer for a long time, I didn't even consult with her about it. I just came in one day and began to change my work clothes into a suit and coat. And she asked me if I'm in a funeral somewhere I had to go to. I said, no, I'm going and run for the state senate. But I never did even discuss that with her before I made the final decision.
Wow.
You talk about that now, how that could possibly have happened.
Yeah. But I wouldn't dream of doing that for the last 45 years of our marriage. I mean,
can you imagine? Here's this peanut farmer who decides to run for the Senate and doesn't even mention it to his wife.
But eventually, they found the key that made their marriage evolve.
We began to work together as equals in our business.
I kept our books, and so it was not very long before I knew on paper more about the work than he did.
And we became partners then, and I began to consult with Rosen before I made any major decisions. So it was a transformation in our marriage.
We'll have more after a quick break. We're back to our conversation with former President Jimmy Carter and First Lady Rosalynn Carter. They were describing to us how the power dynamic in their marriage became more balanced in their decades together.
But I was still curious. What was the challenge that was the toughest for them to overcome?
When we try to write a book together, so we all be careful. That's true. That was the biggest challenge to our marriage book.
Why?
When we started writing the book, and we decided I would write one chapter and then she would write the next one, and we would swap chapters and edit each other. But basically, we had a different writing style. I write very rapidly. I read 34 books in all, and you know, I write very rapidly. And Rosen doesn't. So I would write my chapter and give it to Rosen to edit, and she would look upon it as a rough draft. But when she finished the chapter, it was like she had been to Mount Sinai and God had given us her this precious text called in stone. And if I changed one word in it, it caused her serious distress.
Yeah, exactly.
So we soon decided that we would give Peter Osnos, whom you know, their small advance back. And forget the book.
Really?
It was breaking up our marriage.
We couldn't talk about it.
We couldn't even discuss it with each other. We just wrote ugly letters back and forth on the word processor. But we would agree on 97% of what we wrote, but the 3% we didn't agree on, because if something happened, I might have thought it was humorous and she might have thought it was very serious. So Peter Osnos came down to Plains and our editors and said, I hate for you to give up this book because it has good potential. And I said, okay. So he went down throughout the book and found out the paragraphs on which we couldn't agree completely. So he divided them up. He gave half the paragraphs to me and half the other half of the paragraphs to Rosa.
The ones that you knew.
And in the book, it had a... even when they printed up the book, Peter Osnos put an R by Rosen's paragraphs and a J by my paragraph. And so when I had a paragraph, I could write the final version and Rosen couldn't change it, and vice versa. So we saved the book, and
it was hard.
It almost broke up your marriage.
The biggest surprise for me here in the short time we've had is I think you're a feminist.
Well, I always thought I was, but Jimmy has always thought I could do anything, always. And so I campaigned all over the country. I mean, I've done things I never dreamed I could do.
Uh-huh.
And And we've done things together, like we took downhill skiing lessons when he was 62 and I was 59. I mean, we started skiing at that age. He doesn't only want to learn about things, he wants to do them. So we do bird watching and all kinds of stuff together. And it's just been we've had things happen to us, like living in the White House.
That's the key.
Never dreamed.
Yeah.
It's because of him, because he just had confidence that I could do anything.
Yeah.
And so that gave me confidence that I could do it.
If you could give advice to a couple, to married already or about to be married, what would you say that would maybe help them?
I would say give each other plenty of space to do your own thing. Find things to do together and try to be reconciled at the end of every day, which means you have to communicate with each other.
What about you, Rosalind?
I think that I went so long from being in doing what he said. And we really had to work at it a little bit, you know, to make it so that it was all right for me to do what I wanted to do and him to do what he wanted to do, and we still cared for each other.
Right.
That's the most important thing. It was in my life, and I think probably Jimmy's too.
For you to finally be who you wanted to be.
And vice versa.
That's former President Jimmy Carter and First Lady Rosalind Carter.
I loved hearing how they grew together.
An inspiring couple, and a true honor to be with them. Until next time, I'm Phil Donahue.
And I'm Marlo Thomas.
Oh, it's been great.
Thank you both so much.
Thank you all for coming.
Double Date is a production of Pushkin Industries.
The show was created by us and produced by Sarah Lilly. Michael Bahari is associate producer. Musical adaptations of It Had to Be You by Stellwagen Symphonette.
Marlo and I are executive producers, along with Mia Lobel and Lital Molad from Pushkin.
Special thanks to Jacob Weisberg, Malcolm Gladwell, Heather Fain, John Schnars, Carly Migliori, Eric Sandler, Emily Rostek, Jason Gambrell, Paul Williams, and Bruce Kluger.
If you like our show, please remember to share, rate, and review. Thanks for listening.